Anthony, some of you don't know, Anthony is my son, and he's going to come and share with us today. Yeah, and he's been doing great music already. So, yeah, amen. Good.
You know, I used to be in charge of the tape copying ministry in this church. Does anybody even remember what a tape is? Who's the person who listened to a tape this year? Did anyone listen to a tape this year? Hey, we got one, two. That's great. We used to have this machine, you know, and you'd throw the tape in, and it would like high speed copy. And then, so if people wanted to be baptized, they had to have that tape. So it'd be like, oh, I want to get baptized. Okay, I'm going to make a tape, you know. Takes about 5 minutes. Anyway, those were the old days. I feel like it's an interesting thing in this generation. I've just been able to, like our generation has been able to see so many changes that, you know, technology-wise and around the world, it's been amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that these jars, I was trying to figure out what they're for. They're actually tip jars. So if you think that I sing better than my wife, definitely over there. This is my wife's jar, right? Just kidding. Hey, if she can make the joke about the prophet, then I can definitely make that joke, all right? Come on. So as you know, we've been traveling around the United States and really, it's been wild. Like, we have been able to, we left here in the end of May, right? So we left this place in the end of May. Then we, last year, so like a little over a year ago. Well, I guess more than that, a year and a couple months ago. And then we drove down, we went down to New Jersey, over Pennsylvania, Michigan. Went to like a missions debriefing session up there. Then we drove across over to California, went to a Calvary Chapel conference there in California. And then we spent a long time in California visiting a bunch of family and visiting a bunch of churches. We, over the last year, we have like led worship at like over 40 churches. And it's been a lot of, you know, it's been amazing to see God doing things in so many different places and so many. It's just amazing. You know, you have like people in Texas and you have people in California. If you might not believe it, but there's actually people in California who love the Lord and who are solid. And, you know, one of the things that you kind of see, if you just spend a lot of time on your phone and the news and whatever, you kind of get discouraged about the world. Like, you're like, the world is not as good as I hope it would be. But if you actually go and visit a bunch of places, there's a lot of really awesome people who love the Lord all around this country. And so, you know, you need to know that. Like, there's a lot of people who love the Lord and are praying for this country and who just want to see people come to Jesus and see him change this country for the better. So I want to encourage you with that. We've seen a lot of that. And so then we flew to Israel from California, and we were there for a couple months. And, you know, it's amazing to be there in Israel. Again, we were there for a couple months and we were trying to time it so that we would be there when Iran wasn't attacking, but it ended up that they attacked exactly when we were there, which was, you know, I have been in Israel for rocket attacks from Gaza and wherever else, Lebanon, for a long time. But, ballistic missiles from Iran is something a little different, you know, like that is a huge thing. And I was actually caught outside when this barrage hit, and you could see pieces because the Israelis blew them up in the sky. But still, it's these huge missiles, like the size of, it's like 40 feet. I mean, it's like a size of a bus, you know, it's coming down and it's broken up into pieces. And it was one of the scariest things I've ever been in, you know, where you see this thing coming down, like I'm in the park and this stuff's like coming down not too far away. And, You know, just a quick note about Israel. So we have a newsletter we send out, and I did include a bunch of stuff about that in our last newsletter. If you don't have that, please give me your email, and I can send you that last newsletter, and it'll talk more about what we did this past year. But you know, Israel is this tiny little country, tiny country in the middle of this huge Middle East, right? It's the only Jewish country. It's the only democratic country in that whole region. And you know, everyone is kind of dumping on Israel pretty hardcore right now in the media, it seems like. Why is there a war in Gaza? There's only one reason. Because Hamas came out of Gaza and attacked Israel. There was no war before that. Why is the war still going on? Because there are still people being held underground in Gaza who are Israeli, and they will not release them. So everyone who's like, oh, the Israelis are doing evil to the Palestinians, this is not true. The ones who are holding the Palestinians hostage are Hamas, who are also holding the Israelis hostage. And, you know, there are these areas where Hamas still has control. Why does Hamas still have control there? Because the Israelis know that if they go in there, they're going to kill all the hostages that are being held there. Because there are still hostages who are alive. So Israel has had to go very slow because they want to save those people. You know? So why is this still going on? Because Israel is trying to save lives. And if Israel had gone really fast, you would have seen a lot more people dead than you have seen. You know, it's the estimate, which I'm not even sure these are true numbers, right? But the estimate is something about like 40,000 people have died in Gaza. That's a lot of people. You know how many people have died in Ukraine? Like way more, like a million or something. Like it's like so many people. And so, you know, the magnifying glass is on Israel. Not to say that that's nothing, but to say, hey, we're like not looking at this properly. Hamas, because they still have these certain areas, they come out and they grab all the food and they bring it in there. And then they try to sell this free food that Samaritan's Purse and others have given. And then they try to sell it to the Gazans, you know. And it's a horrible situation. So anyway, we just want to keep praying for Israel and for the Gazan people, all the people in that region, you know, because in all of that region, including in Israel, not enough people believe in Jesus, in Yeshua. And that is the greatest tragedy of it all, right? Our hope is not political situations. Our hope is not that, oh, there'll be peace. You know, like our hope is eternal, because even in this country, we can have horrible things happen. If our hope is not eternal, then we have no hope. So any case, we flew back from Israel to the California, and then we came through into Colorado, Texas, and Florida. We visited a lot of Calvary chapels in Florida, and there's just a lot of Calvary chapels in Florida. It's actually amazing. And a lot of other good churches too. So now we have kind of closed it up. We finally got back up here, and we're still kind of getting acclimated. This still feels really cold to me, this weather. I haven't got used to it yet. But we were at Narragansett last night, and it was really good night last night. So anyway, thankful to be here. Thank you guys for praying for us. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about our journey on the road in just a minute. But what time does this service end? I don't remember. When am I supposed to finish? Oh, my word. You guys are not helping me. So, we want to look at the scripture together, right? And many of you know that I studied in Israel biblical Hebrew poetry. That's my PhD. So, if you want to call me Dr. Chapman, some of you guys laugh because you've known me my whole life. But anyway, I've studied the Hebrew biblical poetry, right? So that means all the poetry in the Bible. So I want to just look through some of these things in the Psalms. And so just to be clear about this, right? The Bible, so this message is called, I'm going to leave that now, the summary of our trip and Israel and all that. Let's leave that to the side and we'll come back and maybe pray for that later. But I'm going to talk about singing a new song. Psalm 96 starts with this. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. And you can go ahead and look there, Psalm 96. We'll come back to it. But that's what we're talking about today, singing a new song. If you don't have a Bible, you should have one because I did not prepare slides. Just raise your hand if you need one. Does anybody need a Bible? Everybody's got one. Okay, perfect. So we're talking about singing a new song. And what does that mean exactly? And how can we do that here today? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have walked with us through so many things. Thank you that you are all-powerful, omnipotent, that you see everything. And you're not only powerful, you're also the definition of love and grace. And we thank you that you've been that in our lives. And Lord, we pray for this day. We pray that right now you'd help us as we dig into your word a little bit and just understand it. So we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. So the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is actually a complete library. So who likes to go to the library? Any library people? Yeah, libraries are fun. My kids went to the library this week. They went, they grabbed a whole bunch of books. They brought them out. And when you go to the library, you have like a very organized system, right? You have certain sections that mean different things. You have stuff that's this one, this thing, you know, history, science, whatever, fiction. There's all kinds of different areas in the library. Well, we have that in the scripture too. Did you know that? There's a bunch of different types of genres in the Bible, right? So we have history books in the Bible. For example, Genesis, Exodus, what'd you say? Daniel has some history, absolutely. What other history books? Leviticus is a little more like a law book, but it is historical. What else? Acts. How about all the Gospels? All the Gospels are all history books. They're talking about what happened, and they're reliable witnesses, testimony of what happened back then, right? Now, on the other side of that, we have also prophetic books, right? Prophecy. What's some examples of prophetic books? Isaiah. Yes. What else? Jeremiah. What? Somebody said Revelation? Revelation. We have some prophetic books. What other? So which book has, that you can think of, has history and prophecy in it? So Daniel does, right? Daniel has both history and prophecy. So what if you got confused? What if you were like, oh, I don't know which is the history side and which is the prophecy side, right? Could you understand what you were reading? Like you'd be like waiting for King Nebuchadnezzar to come, you know? And so we need to understand, what is this I'm reading right now? How about fiction? Are there any fiction? Is there any fiction in the Bible? Come on, dig deeper. Jesus' parables are fiction. They're fictional stories that have a lesson, right? So when somebody says to you, the Bible's just fiction, you can say, well, not really, but there is this story that I want to read you. And just read them one of those parables, and they'll be like, why are you getting in my face with that parable? That's like too intense for me. Because those things are powerful. Jesus used them because they're really powerful. So anyway, that's interesting. How about letters? Are there letters in the Bible? Like letters, like to an individual? Timothy. Letters to a church? Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians. Letters to a whole region? Galatians, absolutely. So we have all these different kinds of letters that were written. What about wisdom literature? Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, there's some Psalms that are wisdom literature. We already talked about law. There's books of law, like Leviticus. But there's also poetry. Who likes to read poetry? Who likes to quote poetry to their children? You know, my wife teaches the kids poetry, so she'll read them. It's one of their courses they have to take, and they're like, "Mom, we don't have to." And I say, "Now you have to read it out loud," because she'll read it out loud, and they'll be like staring off into space, and then I'll come and see them like not paying attention. I'll be like, "Now you have to read it." I'm like, "No, let Mom read it." Poetry is something very unique, and it's unique in all different cultures, right? So the poetry in Japan might be different than the poetry in the United States. And our poetry in English, a lot of times it has to do with meter, where things have the same amount of syllables or a certain number that is defined in advance. And then you have like rhyming things at the end where the sounds sound kind of the same. But not every poetry is like that. Like a haiku is not necessarily like that, right? So biblical poetry is completely different. And it's all over the place where you wouldn't really know that. So obviously Psalms is poetry, but where else can you find poetry in the Bible? Song of Songs. There is some songs in Exodus, absolutely. The first real song of the Bible is when Moses sang that song after they crossed the Red Sea. What about even Isaiah? You might not recognize it, but a lot of times your Bible like sort of puts things like in a different paragraphing, and that means that that's probably poetry in the original. Most of the time, that's why they do that. So it's very interesting, and I love Psalms. I love poetry. I love songs, right? So I'm a songwriter. Do we have any other poets or songwriters here? Who writes songs and poetry? We got a couple. My dad, obviously, you know that. But this song says, sing a new song. Let's actually read that. Psalm 96. Let's read the first four verses. It says this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. So that's not necessarily very poetic to our ears, right? But if you were going to look at it and look for poetic elements, what would you say is poetic about that? Sing to the Lord, repeats, right? Sing to the Lord, a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. You see how there's this kind of repetition? And that has to do with poetry. That's why it's like that. Like if it was just going to be dry English, then he would just say it one time. He would just say, sing to the Lord, a new song, all the earth, praise his name. But he didn't say that. He said it more poetically. Does that make sense? Because somehow, songs and poetry communicate something different. They go a little deeper for us. I'm going to read this to you in Hebrew just so that you can hear it in the Hebrew poetry. See if you can kind of feel how this sounds a little bit. Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash. Shiru l'Adonai kol ha'aretz. שירו לאדוני ברכו שמו בשרו מיום ליום ישועתו. Can you hear that kind of repeating at the beginning? שירו לאדוני, שירו לאדוני, and it's repeating. So it has this like beautiful, it sounds cooler in Hebrew than in English. So what does this mean though for us, like to sing a new song? Like does that mean actually what we should be doing on Sunday is not singing these songs that, you know, Chris Tomlin and whoever wrote? We should actually, all of you should bring your own song you wrote that week and perform it in front of everyone. Right? So I've asked Rich Brulé to sing his new song. No, just kidding. So you know, what would we do? Like, that's not what that means. There's a deeper meaning to that. Sing a new song. And so what happens when something in our life, right? So we go through all these different circumstances. The situation that I'm in today is not the same situation that I was in a month ago. My feelings today are different than they were even yesterday. And I have a different opinion than I had about certain things than I did last year. And I'm constantly changing. There are things that are impacting me in the world, in my private life, in my physical body. Things change. And I go, you know, what is happening? So when he says, sing to the Lord a new song, he's talking about this moment. Like in this moment today, am I in that spirit, in that attitude, in that heart where I can come and sing to the Lord in this moment and praise his name with my song today? So you know, you're coming and you're singing, you know, oh, how he loves us today. But like, do you really, are you entering into that today? You know, with today's situation, you know, like that's what we're talking about. It's a new song for today. It's not just what happened yesterday. And sometimes to sing the new song, you have to let go of that old song, right? And the old way I used to look at it and come into the new song. And so I love the Psalms. Because the Psalms really are very emotional. And, you know, my dad's been writing a lot of songs from the Psalms. You can go to his Spotify channel, which has way more songs than mine. But I'm not counting, you know. But a lot of those are just scriptures, and a lot of them are from the Psalms, you know. And so if you want to memorize Psalms, this is one way to help you do that. But I love the Psalms, and I love this emotional expression. And so within the Psalms, there are all kinds of different kinds of Psalms, right? So we are talking about our emotional interaction with God, right? Like, we're people of faith. We want God to touch every part of our life. And our emotions are actually part of God's image in us. Did you know that? Like, God is actually emotional. Not emotional in the sense of like, oh, he flips back and forth and everything, but he feels things. It describes that in the scripture. And our feelings, while they may lead us astray at times because of our sinful nature, we actually, that's part of the image of God in us. And so how do we deal with emotions? Well, what the psalmists do is they bring them to the Lord. All kinds of emotions. So what is it okay to sing about? It's okay to sing about everything, you know? And so, did you know the most prominent type of song in all the book of Psalms is called the lament? If you look through, like in all the whole 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms, the one that takes up the biggest space, the category that most of them fall into, like if you're going to categorize them all, would be the lament. Isn't that crazy? And so what a lament is, it's where I am complaining, you know? Like, I have a problem and I want to tell the Lord about it. Okay? So let's just look at Psalm 13, all right? We're going to jump around a bunch, but just have your Bible ready, and we're going to go and look at some of these different Psalms. But let's look at Psalm 13. It's kind of a short song. 6 verses. So let's read it all together out loud. Will you guys do that with me? You ready? Okay. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. So we would call this a personal lament. This is like a person. This is David, a person saying, how long will you forget me? Now, we don't usually sing this, these exact things in church so much, you know? Like if you go back a couple chapters, actually, it says this, break the teeth of my enemies, O Lord. Now, I've been waiting for my dad to put that one to a lyric, you know, so you guys can sing that. Break the teeth of my enemies, Lord. But the psalmist is not scared to talk about anything. He's not afraid to bring his emotions to the Lord. And so he's willing to say, how long, Lord? And he's actually, this is quite a serious accusation. He says, oh Lord, how long? Will you forget me forever? Like he's accusing God of forgetting him. That's pretty serious. Like that's not who God is. God doesn't forget anything. God is so awesome that it's not like, you know, when my kids come to me and they're like, this one's trying to ask me a question and this one's trying to ask me another question at the same time. And I like give them the wrong answer because I'm answering this one, that one's question. Because I can't engage with all those people at the same time, you know? But the Lord is like, he can hear everyone's complaint at the same time. And it doesn't bother him. So the Lord isn't offended when we say, hey, I think you've forgotten me. Don't you remember? I'm still here. Hello. The Lord has not forgotten, even if we feel that way. But if we feel that way, we can freely bring that to him. How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I have this sorrow in my heart? He says, give light to my eyes or I'll sleep in death. This dude is depressed. Like, this is like serious. Like, he's like, I feel like I might die from this. And, you know, we've gone through things in our lives where it's too heavy for us. We could die from this, we feel like, you know. And so there's certain aspects of a lament in the Psalms. And they're almost the same in every one of these. First of all, he takes the time to bring his complaint to God, right? He brings his problem. And then he has a request for help. So he doesn't just say, these are my problems, and leave. He says, this is my problem. And then he asks the Lord for help. Look on me and answer me. Give light to my enemy. Give light to my eyes, you know, or my enemies are going to triumph over me. So he brings his complaint. He asks for help. So we're pretty good at those two most of the time. But then look what happens. By verse 5, he's affirming his trust in the Lord. He says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And I don't think that he wrote verses 1-4 and then took like a 3-month break and then came back and wrote verses 5 and 6. I think he wrote this all in one moment. And so he's affirming, he's saying, I trust that you've got this already. It feels to me like death right now. But I trust that you have got this in your hand. And you're going to take care of it. And he says, I will sing to the Lord. Future tense, right? I'm going to sing to you for you've been good to me. I know that you're going to take care of this. And I see that moment where I'm going to be singing in joy to you despite what's happening to me right now. So if our lament stops only at our complaint and our request for help, then we're not like following this example. It says there's an affirmation of trust. And then he promises, and I'm going to praise you when this is done. You know, I'm already know that I'm going to praise you when this is over. Right? So this is a very powerful format You know, and when we're talking to the Lord, like, let's make sure that we have those elements, right? When we're bringing our lament to the Lord. And, you know, and you can do that in song. You can do that in poems. You can do that in a song that was written by somebody else, and it can fit this moment, you know? But that's the lament. So we want to go from the lament to leaning on the Lord. Like, that's the movement we're looking for when we bring our lament to God. But that's not the only type of psalm. And we'll just look at one or two more. Another type of psalm is the praise psalm, right? Obviously, that's very, very, and most of our songs that we sing, they somehow pull from those sections, right? The praise songs. And for example, let's look over at Psalm 95. If we jump back up to Psalm 95. It says this. Okay, I'm going to read the first half of each verse, and you guys read the second half. You ready to try that? Okay. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. For the Lord is the great God, the great King. Oh, that's you. Sorry. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The sea is his, for he made it. Come, let us worship and bow. Come, let us bow down and worship. For he is our God. The flock under his care. That's it. Let's stop there. So, thank you guys. So, there's a few things here that makes this. First of all, he's recognizing who God is. That's what praise is, right? Praise, in its best form, is automatic. Like, you don't actually think about it. You're not thinking about, I'm going to go praise something. I need to find something that was worth praising. The fact is that when we see something that's amazing, we just praise it, you know? And we go, that is a beautiful sunset. And we take a picture of it. And then we send it to our mom or whatever. You know, like, this is a beautiful sunset. This is a beautiful mountain, you know? Like, we have this. We have see something praiseworthy that's worthy of our admiration, and it just happens automatically. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Like, this happened to me at the Grand Canyon. So, you know, I went to the Grand Canyon when I was like very young. I was probably 8. I remember going there, and I remember my mom's hand grabbing the back of my shirt, and I was like just running up, you know. Because there's no fence there. Like, you can just dive right off the edge. But you're walking up. And so I didn't have many memories of the Grand Canyon. But you're walking up. And we got there right before sunset. And there's these little short pine trees. And so you're walking through these pine trees. And then all of a sudden, just this huge, massive gorge. And it's like so far across. You can see so far the colors, and and I actually started crying. Like, I'm, you know, I just, like, tears came to my eyes. I was so overwhelmed. It was just so amazing. And so, you know, if you've never been there, definitely you should do that. Like, it's amazing. And it also is a witness to God's creation and the flood, which we can talk about some other time. But it's amazing to go there. And you just have this moment of awe. So if you ever walked in and saw God's glory, that's what would happen. You would be like, wow. And so, like, we're like, when we're singing here, we're singing, you know, we worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. Like, it's easy to sort of sing that, just to sort of say it. But if you actually think about the eternity of God, that he existed before, now, forevermore, that his existence has no beginning and no end. Like, if you just sit and think about that for like 2 minutes, you should be like blown away. Like, this is amazing. And so really, like, praise comes from that authentic place of recognizing who God is. So that's the praise psalm. And there's all kinds of different words in here in this psalm specifically, where he says, the Lord is the great God, the great king above all the gods. For his hand, in his hand are the depths of the earth, the mountain. They're talking about who he is, right? But it says, let's do a few things. It says, let's sing for joy. Let's shout aloud. Let's come before him with thanksgiving. Let's extol him with music and song. Let's bow down in worship. Let's kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. These are all like scriptural things to do. So if you want to raise your hands, that's scriptural. If you want to sing loudly, that's scriptural. It's actually also scriptural to just be silent before God. If you want to kneel, if you want to clap, these are all things that are in the scripture, you know. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to sing loud to the Lord. Go ahead. Even if I'm off key. And I don't care what you think. Because I'm not singing for you. You know, like, we're like opening up our heart to the Lord. And that's what this kind of psalm is about, this type of singing. So there are other types of psalms and songs. You know, there's the Thanksgiving songs and there's all these things. But the idea is, in any moment, no matter what I'm going through, I can sing to the Lord about that. And I was sharing about this in another church, and this lady came up to me afterward, and she said, you know, I used to do that when I was a kid. My parents were having a really hard time. They were always yelling at each other. It was really not fun to be at home. So I would go in my room, and I would sing the music of pop songs, but change the lyrics. And she was like, my mom and dad are fighting. You need to do something about this, you know? And like singing those lyrics to the Lord as a kid. And so like we can do that. Like we can bring our stuff to the Lord. And to do that actually requires you have to like put your phone down in another room far away. You have to like you have to be intentional to make that space, you know? But having that time with the Lord. So I'd like to sing just a few more songs together and finish off with that.